ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ एंजॉयमेंट टेक्स्ट नंबर 45 यज्ञाय धर्मपतये विधिनैपुणाय योगाय सांख्यशिरसे प्रकृतीश्वराय नारायणाय हरये नम इत्युदारम् हास्यं मृगत्वमपि य समुदाजहार ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, and the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the super soul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body in the form of a deer, of course. Purport. The entire Vedas are meant for the understanding of karma, jnana and yoga, fruitive activity, speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Whatever way of spiritual realization we accept, the ultimate goal is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entities are eternally connected with Him via devotional service. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ante Narayana Smritihi. The perfection of life is to remember Narayana at the time of death. Although Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer, he could remember Narayan at the time of death. Consequently, he took birth as a perfect devotee in a Brahmana family. This confirms the statement of Bhagavad Gita 6:41, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Bhrashto Bhijayate. One who falls from the path of self-realization takes birth in a family of Brahmanas or wealthy aristocrats. Although Maharaj Bharat appeared in the royal family, he became neglectful and took birth as a deer. Because he was very cautious within his deer body, he took birth in a Brahmana family as Jad Bharat. During this lifetime, he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly, beginning with his instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. In this regard, the word Yogaya is very significant. The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga, as stated by Madhvacharya, is to link or connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goal is not to display some material perfections. This chapter is almost coming to an end. This is the last but first verse of this chapter entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, which is purport or explanation of the instructions that Jad Bharat gave to Maharaj Rahugana which was full of deep realization of having gone through it, done it all, seen it all, and having now he is speaking. And he compares this world to actually a forest. I don't know how many of you have actually ever gone to a real forest. How many? Please raise your hands. How many have visited a real forest, thick jungle? There are a few here, 4, 5, 6, 7. I had the opportunity to visit quite a deep jungle during our college days. And there was a Project Tiger, and they wanted to protect the tigers and maintain it, not become an extinct species only in the museum. So they had paid a lot of money, and they wanted college students to come in the vacation and do tiger census of the tiger, to count how many tigers are there. Of course, this doesn't mean head count. You go with it, ask them, are you registered? The process was, we were first instructed, we were taken to the Bandipur forest and the Nagarhole, Karnataka and Kerala border, huge, deep jungles. So first we were given instructions on nature of the tiger, how you should be careful not to see. And surprisingly, they said, tiger is a very shy animal. The last thing it wants is to see a human being. The first thing it teaches the children is, keep away from this species. So we were told, and how it was to be done was, the forest is divided into so many sectors. So into each sector we were sent four students with one local guide, and we were to carry plaster of Paris and lot of water and everything. And how we do census? the thing was, we go near the ponds where tigers come every day to drink water. And there are pug marks. So whenever you see a pug mark, we were shown how big is the pug mark. It's just like a dog's, but only thing is a little bigger one. Four. And one paw and four fingers like that. So if you found that, because the soil is wet, you are supposed to put a four bamboo stick and stir up plaster of Paris and pour on top of it. And then after it solidifies, put some dry leaves and burn it on top. And then take the print out and bring it back. And they compare. And generally in one sector, only one male tiger stays. Others don't stay. Anyway, this is the detail. But the thing was, for the first time, we had exposure to actually what a forest is. And two wonderful things about the forest that it relates here is, it's actually very beautiful. For a person who has lived in city, when he enters the forest, it is so beautiful, so different, and so attractive, so peaceful, so nice, so enjoyable. You fall in love with it. But simultaneously, all this is very beautiful and sweet and nice and enjoyable as long as you know you are in control. You can always go back from where you come from. But then, in case you are lost in the forest, it is the most anxiety-ridden, scary situation that one can ever be put into. So, the first time we went in, it's so nice. And we feel so confident. We can enjoy as long as there is a guide with us who knows every aspect of the forest in and out, who knows exactly what is to be seen, what's to be enjoyed, how to relish, what fruits to eat, what to avoid. Where are some good spots where you can relax without any anxiety, no tiger pouncing on you, no snake coming. And in case you get some bites, what kind of leaves are available to quickly just relieve you from that kind of problem. And what to avoid? I remember one fellow got so excited. There was a group of herd of elephants that were passing us by. The first is one male elephant goes, and after that, some females go, and then a lot of children go in between, and then all the other elephants come in back. Few yards separation. So one male elephant went and a few of female elephants went. And in front, after some time, there was a small elephant, baby elephants coming. So this guy, one of our college friends, he got so excited. He went right in between to take photographs of those. Immediately, this fellow literally beat him up. The guide beat him up. He said, you want to die or what? He said, this is a rule. He said, never go, when the whole elephant travels, never go in between. Because if you cross there, the whole group goes one after the other after a few yards. But if you go in between, they perceive as he has come to destroy. And therefore, the whole crowd attacks and they crush you. Finished. And once an elephant runs behind you, there's no question of you escaping. Because there's about 7 feet grass. Where can you run? You don't know where you're putting your next feet. You may fall into a ditch or something. And the elephants will see it very quickly, just run. Very effortlessly. And just. Of course, he gave some tricks. You should run crossway, zigzag. Because the elephant can't run like this. But how long will you run in 7 feet grass? Where will you run? So he was giving so many tips. It was really enjoyable as long as the fellow was telling every aspect of the forest. We were going and we didn't know how to come back. But he knew it. Therefore he was doing. And later he told us. He had a kind of a, in which you the coconut is removed, that kind of a sickle, yeah, he had. So whenever he would pass a tree, he would just make a mark, arrow mark. Reverse mark. If you are going like this, you will put mark like this. And therefore, after some time, he would come back. It was fresh. They would discover and find out and come back. Otherwise, you are absolutely lost. Otherwise, if there is no trees, then what he does is, he just breaks some grass and ties it into a comfortable knot like an arrow and puts it in the reverse direction and we keep going. One or two may be lost. Some animal may eat away. So at short distances they keep putting. So as long as we were in this forest with an expert guide who knew how to get the best at the same time, in any case, any problem, how to get out of it. Therefore, we were enjoying. And one fellow, somehow he wanted to have some extra excitement and adventure. And he thought himself a little over smart. He left the group just to, take some photographs and get some experience. So he went inside. And he couldn't trace us. We couldn't trace him. And eventually, it was getting dark. We were asked to come back five o'clock at any cost. And we somehow were trying to search him, shouting at the top of our lungs. It seems he was also shouting, we don't know. But then we never found and we returned back. And ultimately a big group actually went to search for him. Around 2 a.m. he was found. But when he came, it was as if he had seen a ghost of some, completely sheepish, white and so scared. Completely opposite of what he was when he went with the camera to do some adventure. So, sometimes it is bhava atavi, atavi. This bhava atavi, this material world is compared to a forest. So this forest has some beautiful, if you know exactly what it has to offer, how it all can be used, and how to be careful, and how to know what to do when any problem arises, then you can enjoy the forest. Vishwam purna sukhayate. The whole material world is a wonderful place. Yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam. One who has received the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for him Vishwam purna sukhayate. Vidhimahindra adishya kitayate. He is not interested in staying. We went for 2 days trip. It was nice. We could really enjoy, get the best, then come back. But if we don't know, if we don't have an expert guide, then we may complete, just like it's also considered to, a comparison is made of Bhavasagar. It's like an ocean. Again, I don't know how many of you have actually gone in a boat into an ocean. I had this opportunity once. We went to Kerala again. And after this Anant Padmanabh temple, we went to one ocean and we took a boat just to get the exam and go inside. And afterwards, you go inside at least for an hour or so. Everywhere there is water. Yes, you lose a sense of direction. So it's all pleasant, beautiful sky, water, you know, experiencing. But the moment you realize you don't know how to go back, you're caught up. And what it's like everywhere, water. The same water is so scary. So scary. The same thing which you're enjoying becomes the most scary, fearful thing. Because you're desperately trying and you don't see the shore. So at that time, Nudeham Adhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanadharam. To have a spiritual master who knows exactly what is the purpose, we have come here, how to get the best of every situation and just get out. That is an advantage. That's a great, it's a good fortune if someone has access to that. Otherwise, there are so many things which immediately tempt. There are some kind of fruits available which smell also nice. But the moment you take it, it's poisonous. So if you don't have an expert person, you may die immediately. Or there are some kind of leeches. You don't realize actually. And these leeches, once they get caught, once they just hook on to you, if you don't know, people become so panicky. They say, sticks like a leech. It sticks. It's like a piece of rubber. It's, you do anything, you know, your skin may peel out, but the leech won't come out. But this fellow exactly knew. And we were caught up. We were so scared. So many leeches all around our legs. And he had a sack of salt, which he dipped in water and just touched it and it just falls off. All the leeches fall off. Simply you just have to touch. You scrap your skin off, they don't fall. But you take this bag of salt, put it in water and just touch it like this and they just automatically fall off. Similarly, this karma bandhana, so sticky, you just can't get rid of. Material world is so complex that anything you do, it just catches you. And this karma bandhana, this knot, is so tight and you try to untangle it, it's a mess. You just can't untangle it. Therefore, the best thing is just cut it. Just cut the knot, get away. And that is, what is that sword which can cut that karma bandhana that helps us to smoothly go across this forest of enjoyment, enjoy and get out of the forest rather than getting stuck here. And that is when we have, it's beautifully described in the Bhagavatam, that the most powerful weapon of a sword which can actually cut the karma granthi is remembrance of the Lord. Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katha ratim. Yad anudhya asina, anudhya means to remembrance. Yad anudhya asina, remembrance of the Lord is compared to a sword. Yad anudhya asina yukta. If you have a sword in your hand of remembrance of the Lord, karma granthi nibandhanam, and all these leeches, all this karma, and the reactions getting caught up, you're stuck, you're trying to peel off, nothing happening, so difficult, but karma granti nibandhanam chindanti, you can easily just chop off. Chindanti kovidaha. Intelligent people want to equip themselves with the sword of the remembrance of the Lord. Kona kuryat katha ratim. So the Bhagavad says, when can you remember? You can constantly remember anything when you love something. Only when we love something can we constantly remember that thing. Just like a mother loves a child, always constantly thinking of the child. Is he had anything? Does he have something? Is there, the food is there? I hope everything is safe. So when you love someone, you can constantly. Kona kuryat katha ratim. You have to have rati. You have to have deep attachment. Just like Maharaj Bharat developed for the deer. So much so that constantly he was thinking of the deer. Constantly. Even at the point of death, I was thinking of the deer. Why this perversion? What exactly happened? He was on such a great stage of advancement. But he got actually distracted. He got deviated. Why? He was on a very high state. In fact, there are there is three levels. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is the highest. Bhava is the stage from which there is no question of a fall down. And before that there is shraddha, nishtha, ruchi and asakti. Asakti means strong attachment. All of these are part of sadhana bhakti only. All of these are padhana. Adav shraddha, tada sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anathinivirti, nishtha, ruchi and asakti. Asakti is rati, similar. Kona kuryat katha ratim. Actually, Bharat Maharaj was almost on the stage of bhava, where he had tears rolling down his cheeks, everything. So, how did he actually fall away? That's very nicely described. In Vaidhi Bhakti, it is of two varieties. Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga. Sadhana Bhakti is of two. Vidhi and Raganuga. Vidhi means scrutinizingly following the rules and regulations. And then there is Raganuga. Raga Anuga. Raga means spontaneous attraction. And Ragatmika devotees are those pure, 100% pure devotees who are completely attached and always engaged in the innermost devotional service of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. They are the Vraja Bhaktas. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Tad Anuragi Jananugami. Tad Anuragi. Those great devotees. We have to follow in the footsteps of those great souls. So, when there is spontaneous love, attraction, and greed that develops to serve the Lord, then we must follow in the footsteps of those great devotees in who serve the Lord in Raga Bhakti, in spontaneous devotion. So that is called Raga Anuga. So in Sadhana Bhakti also, there is Vidhi Bhakti and there is Raga Anuga Bhakti. And Bharat Maharaj was on the stage of Raga Anuga Bhakti. Practically he was following in the footsteps and he was doing that. But what happened, it is described, actually in Vidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, are there. One very carefully follows the rules and regulations. Initially, out of fear, if we don't follow, we go to hell. For people who have absolutely no love, someone like us, for us, the fear is, if you don't do properly, you will fall down. Hellish. Again, you will be in this forest. So therefore, we, out of fear, we follow. That's for people who are absolutely entangled in this world. But higher than that is, if you follow nicely, gain. You gain something. You get purified, kleshagni, all the miseries go away, all the sinful reactions go away. Nice proposition. Just chant little and you get so much benefit. Let's chant very nicely. So there is gain in mind. But when we come to Vaidhi Bhakti, it's more out of a sense of duty. We have to get up at this time. We have to do this at this time. We have to do it in this way. We have to. The duty part is predominant. And therefore we strictly follow the rules. But the difference between a Vaidhi Bhakta, Vidhi Bhakta and a Raganuga Bhakta is, from internally he develops such deep greed for serving the Lord that in his greed, in his intense love, sometimes he seems to neglect the vidhis. But that neglect is not neglect. Rupa Goswami says niyamagraha. There are two meanings to this word niyamagraha. Niyama means rules and regulations, and agraha means simply you following the rules and regulations for the sake of following rules and regulations without knowing why we are doing it. That's all. Too much sticky about the rules and forgetting the essence. That's like a karmakandi type brahmana. Too much sticky about the rules. No, no, you should not do this, you should not do this. Don't do like this, hold it like this. And people, just first time he has come and say, somebody is just bowing down. Don't bow down, this is the Lord is there. Here, you should turn this way. Put your head here, put your neck there. Moving him around and he says, okay. So sometimes people too become sticky about vidhi and they scare people off. And another extreme is, now I am so transcendental. These are only for Vaidhi Bhaktas. You know. Now I am transcending to that. So both are. So it is explained that in the Vedic scriptures, from the lowest level of degradation to the highest level of pure devotional service, there are so many stages. And at each stage, there are prescribed rules and regulations, vidhi and nishedha. So when you reach a particular stage, you have to follow those vidhis and those nishedhas. And a person who follows his level of vidhi and nishedha is called a pious person, and steadiness, a person who is steady in his level, such a person is called pious person. Pious means at his level, he is exactly following his rules and regulations perfectly according to what is meant for at his level of elevation. And if you constantly follow it, then gradually you elevate to the next level. That's called advancement. And if you get stuck, then you fall down. That means you are gradually to advance. There's no plateau in devotional service. Either you're going up or you're coming down. Because if you get stuck, suppose steadily I am in the fourth standard for past 4 years, constantly, steadily I am studying fourth standard. Then you say, matlab tu fail ho gaya. Nahi, chauthi mein bahut achha padhai kar raha hu main. You have to stay for 1 year, that's all. Afterwards you have to go to fifth standard. So if you don't, then you are stuck. That's called degradation. So we are meant to gradually advance, actually. So when we follow those rules and regulations, they are designed in such a way to take us up a little higher. Little higher. So that vidhi nishedha, whatever is there, must be followed. And as we go higher, the lower things should be given up. The lower principles must be given up. Otherwise, sticking to the lower principles actually is like a chain which keeps you from advancing. So in the Vedic literature, there are so many rules. Karma, Jnana, Ashtanga, Bhakti. So karma means give up illicit activities, give up sinful activities, live a moral and pure life. That is karmakand. Karmakand means at least you are giving up illicit life, no intoxication, illicit, that's bodily, animalistic life, and come to a human form of life. That's at least karma. Follow the varnashram system perfectly, And then gradually, when a person develops detachment, then he goes to the jnana section, where predominantly it is one of detachment. Gives up the varnashram in the sense of the rules and regulations of the household life and in the sannyasi life. And then more of discriminating what is what is what is real, what is temporary. Asatoma, sadgamaya, tamasoma, jyotirgamaya, like that. Always focusing on the essence. And things like that. And from there, you have to follow this process of jnana and vairagya as long as faith in the Supreme Lord does not arise. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shravanadavva shraddha yavat na jayate. Krishna tells Uddhava in the Bhagavad that tavat karmani kurvita, all these ritualistic principles you must follow, na nirvidyeta yavata, as long as you are absolutely from within. As Uttama Shlok Prabhu was discussing very nicely the other day, he was telling that it's not that Bharat Maharaj left all these things forcefully. Actually, even before leaving, he was already malavat. He gave it up as piece of stool because he had developed a higher taste. Just like if someone says, if you stop chanting Hare Krishna, I'll give you a nice cup of coffee or nice drinks or party and all that. Not so much attached, hopefully. He says, no more. I have so nice program here, very nice. You have a Sunday feast or this party? Cocktail party, whatever. You have a choice. And then you say, no more attracted. Actually, a person is already on the platform and then this sannyas, etc. or whatever is simply a formal taking up of the externals. The internal consciousness is already there. Gradual purification of the heart has already happened. So similarly, when Shraddha comes, and what is Shraddha? Shraddha means beyond this world is the real world where the Lord eternally exists. We are eternally His part and parcels. We have to serve the Lord. Loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Shraddha is qualification for Bhakti. And Bhakti is the topmost qualification of all the different levels. That's why it says here, the entire Vedas are meant for understanding karma, jnana and yoga. Fruitive activities, speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Whatever way of spiritual realization we accept, the ultimate goal is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, you have to be connected with Narayana. Ante Narayana Smritihi. Janmalabha Parah Pumsam. So, when we know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to develop attachment. And when we develop strong attachment, affection, love, then we will not be attracted to any other thing. So, in case of Maharaj Bharat, there was neglect of the basic principles. Even though a person is in the Raganuga platform, he may be shithila. Shithila means little callous to the vidhis. That doesn't mean he's breaking the principle of vidhi. What he's doing is for a higher purpose, a lower can be compromised. The principle of vidhi is not leaving. But the detail of vidhi may be compromised by a Raganuga devotee. For example, there are two instances that just comes to my mind. Maybe it's bona fide, let's say. For example, let's take two instances. One is, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, we find this lady was so eager to see Lord Jagannath that she climbed on the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stood on his shoulder. And Mahaprabhu did not take it so seriously. Govinda was, see, what is this nonsense? You are breaking the rule. There's a Supreme Lord, you're climbing on his shoulder. But he saw the spirit. Because of intense greed, there was laxity on the vidhi. She was absolutely oblivious to the fact. But, now what is the principle? What is the principle of all vidhis? Smartavya satatam Vishnur, vismartavya na jatuchit, सर्वे विधि निषेध्यास्युर एतयोरेव किंकरा. द एसेंस ऑफ ऑल विधि इज टू रिमेंबर कृष्ण ऑलवेज एंड द एसेंस ऑफ ऑल निषेध डोंट डू एनीथिंग विच विल मेक यू फॉरगेट कृष्ण. सो दिस इज द विधि. जस्ट लाइक शबरी, शबरी व्हेन शी ऑफर्ड टू लॉर्ड राम शी वॉज सो एब्सॉर्ब्ड इन प्लीजिंग लॉर्ड राम, इंटेंस ग्रीड, इंटेंस लव एंड अफेक्शन, दैट शी फॉरगॉट दैट शी इज नॉट सपोज टू ऑफर थिंग्स विच आर इम्प्योर. But she tasted it. Lakshman took objection. I don't know whether it is bona fide Ramayana or whatever. But the fact is, I saw this Ramayana of other. But the fact is, Lord Ram didn't bother because he understood the spirit. The spirit was, she was so absorbed in giving him the best that she didn't care about. The essence of Vidhi is that. Ultimately, all the Vidhi is to bring us to the platform of spontaneous greed, love and affection for the Lord. And then, naturally, some vidhis may kind of go back. I remember one video I was seeing of Prabhupada. Prabhupada came and in Vrindavan, he is offering this arati. At that time I saw, he had this bead bag and he just offered like this and offered dandavat. The bead bag touched the ground first. And we were told never to touch the bead bag. And here was Prabhupada ecstatically watching Krishna Balaram temple. He was so pleased by the wonderful service and all that. Then he just offered obeisances. One time he went into the kitchen and there's devotees, neophyte people, they were cooking something. And I think Yamuna Mata, somebody was there. He picked up something and, very nice. And she was shocked. She said, Prabhupada, this is not yet offered. It's meant for the deity. It's all right. He wanted to make sure that you are offering the right stuff. Not that you burn it and after when you eat prasad, you offer it to someone. Why? Because, you know, it's burnt out. We couldn't eat. And the Lord has eaten that. Of course, when we are doing Vidhi Marga, we can't do that. We can't do it on the platform of Shabari like that. Foolishly, we can't. It should manifest in all our activities. We can't do that. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't make any mistake in the vidhis. Because this is what pleases Krishna. We are following the vidhis carefully. Why? Because these vidhis, the Krishna has told us to follow these vidhis. The Acharya has told us to follow the vidhi. So while following the vidhi, we are remembering Krishna will be pleased by this instruction. So when we are following the vidhi, we are remembering Krishna. But we are very screwed because we don't have spontaneous love. We follow the vidhis as if this is the best way to please Krishna. Till a time comes when spontaneous love develops. Then the essence of vidhis are already imbibed in our heart. At that time, they may seem to break some vidhi, external superficialities of vidhi, but in principle they don't break. So Prabhupada writes in another purport elsewhere in the previous section, Maharaj Bharat purposefully neglected. Or he knew this is neglect, but he didn't care about it. Purposefully means not specifically thinking about it. In the sense, willing, he knew he should not be doing it, but he got caught up. And there was no one around to tell him, Prabhu, I think you should come for Mangalarti. There was no one to tell him. And therefore, he was alone in his own, he was getting whimsical. And therefore, the whole thing, Shukadeva Goswami writes, in spite of this situation, if he fell down, it is because of his previous activities, some previous karma. So somebody may say, Karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhajam. If you do bhakti, bhakti actually completely destroys karma. How is it? Prabhupada explains, it is not like that. He said, it was not due to his past karma. Because by engaging in devotional service, all our past karmas are gone. He says, it is simply because of his own neglect. And therefore, Krishna, very mercifully, put him in such a situation where his intensity of that greed would increase. Prabhupada writes in the purport, sometimes some Goswamis of Vrindavan, they do some mistakes and they are given the body of a dog, a monkey or a tortoise in that holy land, where for some time they have to undergo this purification. They remember everything, they have to intensify, and then they go back to Godhead. That's like the last few bits, little final part of their Antalila before they go back to Godhead. So similarly, Maharaj, and here in the body of a deer, he was made to realize. He realized his mistake. And therefore, what is the proof? The proof is, in his next life, he was overcautious. He was overcautious. Not again. Not the same mistake. He was so cautious that he went extra way out to see that he doesn't repeat the same mistake. As we say in Hindi, "Doodh ka jala chhas bhi phook ke pita." White milk, hot milk, and it drinks, is burnt. Next time anything white, blow. The rule is, blow anything that is white. Nahi, nahi, ye chhas hai. Not again, please. So this time he was so careful. So careful. He would do things reverse. Simply to keep away from all this entanglement of forest. I have seen the forest. I have done it all. I have seen it. I enjoyed everything. I had left it. And then I neglected. I got caught up. So this whole pastime, this whole pastime is to tell us, remember, you also don't repeat the history. Let us not have any more Bharat Maharaj in the ISKCON history. Something like that. History repeats itself. Our Haridas Prabhu, Chuhu Prabhupada disciple, he had once come, he was addressing all our brahmacharis. He said, "I was a not strong brahmachari, Prabhupada gave me some special mercy, and then I somehow neglected because I was coming from the film field." He went back into doing some films and he got really burnt out, and then he came back and he was telling us, and then he told us, "Mera jala sharir dekh ke seekho." He says, "See my burnt body and you learn the lesson. You don't have to go through the same fire. Why? You can avoid that." He is so humble. One devotee tried to offer obeisance to him. He actually literally scared him to death. He was just about to beat him up. He said, "Natak nahi karne ka, samjha? Out. Ati bhakti karta hai. Bola na tere ko." He just told him. The fellow was scared. "I don't all the offering business. I am unfit to do all these things." And he was telling, he is convinced, he always keeps telling, "For next 7 births, I will come back to Juhu, this temple, and I will become, I'll be a brahmachari. 7 births, then only I will go back to Godhead. I have to serve Prabhupada." He doesn't mind coming anyway, but he wants to serve. So, this is the story of Bharat Maharaj is a clear thing, as Prabhupada mentions here. Although Maharaj Bharat appeared in the royal family, he became neglectful and took birth as a deer. And because he was very cautious within the deer body, he took birth in a Brahmana family as Jad Bharat. And how? What is the meaning of remaining conscious or cautious? Prabhupada writes, during this lifetime, he remained perfectly Krishna conscious and preached the gospel of Krishna consciousness directly, beginning with his instruction to Maharaj Rahugana. So direct, he knew that no more path. I may wander off. He said, directly I'll remain Krishna conscious and I'll spread this gospel. So in this way he was extra careful to see that he would take the path. Mahajano yenagata sapantha. A path that is well tread, and it's like a royal road. express highway back home, back to Godhead. You can close your eyes and drive full speed. It is a safe path, traversed by the Mahajans. So in this way, almost we are coming to this end. But it shows the whole forest of enjoyment is speaking with deep realization. It's telling all of this is subtle things. They can distract you. Potentially they can deviate you. They can distract you. They can put you off track. And therefore, be very, very careful. I was neglectful for some time, and from that state, look what happened to me. Don't do that same thing. And therefore, specifically, it's amazing. So many chapters, 4 or 5 chapters of one devotee, just to teach that lesson. In the Bhagavatam, basically, the do's and don'ts of the topmost qualification of Bhakti Yoga is given. What to do, what not to do. What to carefully avoid and what to carefully accept. Anukulya sankalpo, pratikulya savarjanam. So we may have some kind of weaknesses, attractions. And that attraction can potentially, if cultivated and nourished, can become, take us away from the supreme attractive Lord, Krishna. Therefore, if we carefully follow these processes as enunciated by the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, so beautifully, systematically takes us from the path from the beginning to the end. If we follow that, that's a auspicious path, well tread by the Mahajans and blessed by the Acharyas. So that path is very safe and very easy. So we'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, clarifications, suggestions.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, hearing this pastime of Bharat Maharaj, sometimes I used to feel it that seeing Bharat Maharaj lifestyle, he was completely detached. He left everything and then he accepted renounce order of life and he got attached to deer. Then he has to become a deer and then he became again Jad Bharat. He could go back to Godhead. Seeing this scenario, and this is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes I used to compare on myself that we have been told very clearly, chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulatory principles, be sincere, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the end of your life, you'll go back to Godhead. Be sincere, that's all. And hearing this pastime, sometimes we feel it, are we dreaming? Seeing even one attachment to a deer, when he is leaving everything and he is getting attached only one to one deer and he has to come back into this material world, that means the law is very strict. And here we are having lots of attachment and having only one dream in our mind that I can follow 4 regulatory principles, chant 16 rounds, be with the devotees and hear Bhagavatam and I am going back to Godhead. Comparing these two things, we feel that we are in a hallucination or from dreaming or something. What is there? I think it might be difficult to go back to Godhead seeing this type of example. So, how to see to it that this thing will not applicable to us, because when it is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is applicable to us also. So when it is applicable to us, we don't think so that not a single trace of attachment will not be there when we are going to leave our body. Even if you are going to follow all the regulatory principles, even if you are going to chant 16 rounds or even Kirtaniya Sadahari chanting for the whole lifetime, then also we are not confident that not a single trace of attachment is not going to be there. And if it is not there, we are fit to be over here as per Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the solution for that?
We have to understand both. From our side, we have to take all precautions. But at the same time, from Krishna's side, he's not a, you know, like, hard-hearted, cruel taskmaster. Sab kiya. Pani gira diya? Aap, nikal yahan se. It's not. The now whole story of Jagai and Madai.
Prabhuji, I'm sorry to interrupt it. If that is the case, that Krishna is completely merciful, he could have been merciful to Bharat Maharaj also.
I haven't yet spoken and completed my answer. The Vedic etiquette is you have to speak. And after you speak, then I speak and clarify. When you don't, then you have to clarify. At least from Mahabharata serial, I learned one thing. Even though Shishupal was so wild, he speaks, then somebody gets up, he speaks, then he speaks. Generally, that's not in assembly and all that, you know. In our, everyone is speaking simultaneously, throwing slippers at each other, microphone stands. Therefore, now the microphone stands are fixed in the table. You can't throw at each other. Otherwise, you know. So, I haven't yet completed. Please forgive me. I'm just line of thought. So, it's a fact. Sincerity means the humility. A person feels himself never qualified that I will ever go back. But he has one of the qualities of a Bhava Bhakta is hoping against hope. Kshantiravyartha kalatvam virakti manashunyata asha bandha means I have no hopes, but still I know, Krishna, you have to take me. Because I know you. I have hope against hope simply because you are such a magnanimous personality. Otherwise, I have no hope. So, there is a two department, department of justice and department of mercy. If I go via department of justice, forget it, there's no chance. But then there's also department of mercy. And that mercy, sometimes Krishna uses his devotees, temporarily puts them in some situation. This is, Prabhupada writes this in first canto, ninth chapter, passing away of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma was crying with tears, Aho kashtam, aho nyayam, anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana. He says, what aho kashtam, what kind of miseries you people have to bear, what kind of injustice you people have to bear, though you are dharmanandana, you are following scriptures, you are serving devotees, the supreme personality of Godhead was with you. Therefore, I tell you, this is simply vidhi. This is the plan of the Lord. And what is the plan of the Lord? In this particular instance of Pandavas undergoing so many miseries, even though they were pure devotees of the Lord, always. Prabhupada writes in the purport, one of the plan of the Lord was to establish the kingdom of virtue. Number one. So even though temporarily his devotees had to undergo inconveniences, through his devotees he wanted to show to the whole world the glory of these great souls. Just see, Bharat Maharaj is not crying and lamenting. He's smiling. Right? What does this word say? Hasyan mrigatvam api. Even though he was in the body of a deer, he's smiling. Why is he smiling? Krishna, I did such a rascaldom, I did such a big mistake, and you just little one slap, one deer, bash. Otherwise, you could have killed millions of lifetime in some forest, undergo all the 84 lakh, taste all the, so that you know you will never get attached to any other. You could have put through a dog, cat, cockroach, everything, so that all the 84, you will not get attached to anyone. I will put you through all two and make you remember everything. He could have done that to teach him a good lesson. But this is just to intensify and increase. What is the life of a deer? How much is the life of a deer, by the way? 30, 40 years probably. Not even that. Less than that. Zoo people may know. Dogs have 12 years. Some dogs may have more. Otherwise, what's 12 years in compared to what you're getting back? The lesson learnt. From an eternity point of view, from what is being offered, what's this? It's a special causeless mercy. Krishna could have slapped so hard that you will forget him for a long time and then come back again and learn the lesson thoroughly. But he was so merciful. Just when, a little, become a deer. And in the deer, actually was increasing his love. And he is saying he is beautiful and attractive. He is not saying he is cruel. He made me a deer. I served him so much. I left my kingdom. I left my wife. I left my children. Little mistake. He could have slapped me then only. Krishna, whatever he does, is perfect. He knows exactly how to teach the lesson, how much to teach, when to stop. We sometimes overdo or underdo. We spoil people under us, or we make him so strict that they get fried out. Krishna is a perfect master. That's all he's saying. He's a perfect master of Prakriti. He knows exactly what lesson to be taught, when to taught, how much to be taught. We must have faith. He had full faith in the perfection of the Lord. He said, exactly, my Lord, I deserve much more. You've given me simply a small kind of a... What's this? What's the life of a deer? And what's the life of Jad Bharat? 100 years? What is 115 years compared to what you're getting and the lesson to be learned? We, as if, you know, knocking at the door, Abhi, Hare Krishna, Japana, Darada Kholo, Bhagavad Dham Ka. Wow! That's Mahaprabhu's mercy. That's Prabhupada's mercy that somehow he is chanting 16 rounds. What great thing you are doing by chanting 16 rounds. You are becoming happy, that's all. It's not you're doing a great service to the Lord by chanting his name. You getting the benefit. What great thing you are doing. You're supposed satatam kirtayantoma, not 16 rounds. That's some Prabhupada's mercy. He has told. So Krishna has to say, poor fellow, is my devotee has told. It's like, Krishna wanted to kill that demon, that forest fire, Mayadanav. He wanted to kill him. He sent to Sudarshan Chakra. But that fellow fell at the feet of Arjun. Arjun said, I will protect you, don't worry. I will protect you. Krishna had to retrieve his Sudarshan Chakra, which will never come back. Unless it does its job. It's like a pakka guided missile. It will do the job and come back. Supreme most guided missile. It will do exactly what it is meant for and come back. Krishna withdrew simply because Arjuna had given him a protection. Brahmaji says in the Bhagavatam, because I am a pure devotee of the Lord, whatever I speak, Krishna makes it come true. I speak something and Krishna makes it come true. So Prabhupada has said, do this and you'll go back. To protect his word, because he's a dear devotee of the Lord, Krishna will say, theek hai, unka suna hai, chal le lo andar isko. The useless fellow is. But take him. You have no hope, but it is the great devotees of the Lord. Their mercy that we are getting hope. Otherwise, what are you doing? What's the big deal? Chanting few rounds and following principle. That's for your benefit. Otherwise, you will fall sick and die. Don't follow the four regulatory principles. It's just to become a human being. You're not doing a great service to the Lord. So the fact is, he's making it so simple. Mahaprabhu has made it so simple. Patra apatra dekhi na dekhi sthana sthan. Actually, we do, see, at least, I don't know, in ISKCON, we 4 months after we come to Krishna consciousness, we feel Golok Vrindavan is our next door neighborhood, you know. Vaikuntha. Olok, tum log jao, tum log. That's Mahaprabhu's mercy. We talk of Golok as if, you know, it's, hey, pagal mein, hanging garden. Just climb the steps of Babulnath, hanging garden. Milna chena abhi. Ho gaya na, chad ke aa gaya, itna steps. Even liberated souls, muktanam api siddhanam, narayana parayana, sudurlava prashantatma, koti shupi mahamuni. Muktanam, even for liberated souls, koti shupi, amongst crores of liberated souls, one virala, one great rare soul could achieve Golok Vrindavan. Can you imagine Mahaprabhu's mercy? That you do all kinds of nonsense, just 16 rounds. Oh, what's big deal about 16 rounds? 1.5 hours of a day, and that also, thinking of so many, planning the whole thing, whole day. What are we doing? And you say, oh, big thing. This is just to show. This is just to show what's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By seeing all that, we realize. So, from our side, we have to see the difficult part and feel ourselves absolutely useless. From Krishna's side, the one wonderful thing, he sees only the bright side of everything. He sees only the bright side. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya chavayo vidya gajendrasya ka kubjaya kimunam rupa charitam kim sudam no dhanam vamshah ko vidurasya yadavapate ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam nachagunair bhakti priyo madhava. He says, he only sees the positive part. Oh, you thought of me one time? Oh, you did so much? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Once you offered me love and devotion, we may forget, but he will not forget. He is so grateful. He is the supreme most grateful. He neglects everything else and sees that one good thing that you did. That's why he was crying tears, Uddhava. Who will give up such a master? Who will give up? Even Putana, who came to actually kill, he gave her liberation and a position of a mother in the spiritual world. Who can be more? Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jighamsaya lebhe gatim dhatrim kamva dayalum sharanam prapadye. Who's worth taking shelter other than this Lord? He's a real master. So, if we see what we are going to get in return and what is expected from us, it's insignificant. But this should make us humble, careful and grateful. That's all. We have to be humble. We don't qualify. And grateful for whatever reduction, discount you have given. Krishna, thank you for giving discount for Kali Yuga people. So much discount. Practically no payment. Just come inside the shop. You have to go to the shop also to pick up everything. Hey, you just come. All the shop is yours. Take up anything you want. Ab kya wo bus ladke udhar jana padega, dukaan. That's your problem. He's asking you, come to Golok Vrindavan. Just do this, you know. It's mushkil hai. Time nahi. That's our situation. I don't know. Now, ball is in your court. Over and out. Something? Okay. Yes. Srivas Thakur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, in your lecture you mentioned that Bharat Maharaj, when he was giving his, when he was leaving his body in the form of a deer, he offered the prayers to the Supreme Personality and remembered Supreme Personality of Godhead. The understanding we get from the scriptures is that when a person leaves his body, remembering the Supreme Lord, his next, like he goes to the abode of the Lord. But here he had to take again birth as Jet Bharat. What is, how do we understand this? Normally it is, the understanding we get from the scriptures is that if you remember the Lord and give up your body, you go to the abode of Lord. But here he remembered the Lord in the end, after, in the form of deer, still he had to take birth as Jet Bharat.
Antakale cha mameva. Yah prayati samadbhavam yati na asti atra samshaya. There is no doubt he will come back. Actually, there are instances also. Gajendra remembered. And many instances of people who remembered, but at the same time, like Dhruva Maharaj also remembered, but he went back to Dhruva Loka and eventually he'll come back. That's for sure. That's for sure. So here in this case, it was to intensify his devotion and just do the last bit, finish off. So it is the Lord's plan, asamshaya, that is for sure, that such a person comes to me. But it's just like you say, you know, anyway you are selected, I will take you, you know, you just write this paper, finish these papers and, you know, fill up. And you just come for the interview. You know, you actually have selected, it's done already. but then you fill up and just come for the interview. So, it's something like that. I can see it like that. Maybe it's speculation. Anyone would like to add any instance from... Yeah? Narada Muni? Yes, Prishabhanu Prabhu. Acha. So, the whole idea is already, I mean, he has learned, the next life is going to go back. And this was like the final part of the lesson before. This is Krishna's arrangement to finish off.
Thank you for a wonderful class. This being aware that a mercy department exists, will it not make a devotee who is on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, he will feel secure, but will it not lead to some kind of laxity in his approach? So how to bring a very disciplined approach as far as Vaidhi Bhakti is concerned, while simultaneously knowing that it is not end of the road because of our failings. And there is a mercy department, there is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which will take care of us at the right time. So how do we do this? I mean, how do we become perfect in our whatever Vaidhi Bhakti, which is recommended process, and at the same time also not feel totally insecure because there is mercy department of Lord Chaitanya?
Mahaprabhu sees the sincerity or the honesty of the devotee's heart. What is that? Not kapata pavana, but is what is that? Patita pavan. Someone who feels himself very patita, but he is honest. Just for example, in Mahaprabhu's pastime, we find that milk drinking brahmachari who came inside Srivas Thakur's house. He was asking and asking, and Srivas took mercy. Srivas said, okay, you can come, but hide inside. And Mahaprabhu became so wild, so angry. Who is this milk drinking? What does he think of himself? By drinking milk, he chastised it. The fellow was shaking like a leaf. And he threw him out. And while going away, he was so grateful that at least I got entrance inside. I got to sit there. I got to watch some part of it. I don't deserve it, but I got it. Because of that feeling, Mahaprabhu called him. And he became an eternal associate. Whereas another devotee who did not get entry, who broke his thing and started chastising because he was very proud. Even Mukunda, when he was not given an entry, he could have walked inside. I'm a singer, you know. He could have walked inside. He didn't walk inside because Mahaprabhu didn't call him. He was standing outside, but he won't walk as long as Mahaprabhu didn't call him. And then Mahaprabhu said, I'm not going to see him. So others asked, is he ever going to see? He said, maybe after 10 million births. But he could appreciate that. Now we are coming back to this question. You know, 10 million births, and Mukunda was dancing with joy. I will see just 10 million births. You know, Anandanavan Prabhu. This is Mukunda's consciousness. 10 million births, and he's telling, bus, just 10 million births, 1 crore. You know that figure better than all of us. I don't even know how many zeros are there in 1 crore. How many? 8 zeros. Can you imagine? 8 zeros. So many births, and he's telling, that's all. To see Mahaprabhu again? Immediately said, come back. So basically, is that heart, a heart of gratitude and appreciation. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very nicely. Why, and Prabhupada explains in the first canto, third chapter, 34th verse purport. It's amazing. I remember that. I'll show you maybe later. He says, the external energy of the Lord transforms to the internal energy in accordance with repentance and penance on the part of the conditioned soul. the same Mahamaya, which is kicking us left and right, will become Yoga Maya and help us go back to Godhead to the extent there is repentance and penance. And in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, what is the purpose why a person is thrown into the prison house? He's thrown in a prison house because he is doing whimsical activity against the laws. The whole purpose of putting in a prison house is reformation. What is the reformation? He should realize that what I did was a mistake. That is the first purpose of putting in a prison house. Mistake. And what is the practical manifestation of this feeling? He will follow the rules and regulations of that prison house so strictly. By that he will show that now I am fit for reformation. Even when I go out, I'll follow the laws. So, strict adherence to the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Tasmat shastram pramanante karya karya vyavasthito. Yam shastra vidhi vitrujya vartate kamakaratah nasasiddhim avapnu. So, the proof of that feeling fitting for mercy. Mercy is there. But to receive that mercy, you have to have a receptacle. And that heart which can receive that mercy is a heart of repentance and penance. That is why in the Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, the first purport, first verse, it begins with Vacho Vegam and all that Vegam. But Prabhupada begins the purport by telling who is, what is true Prayaschitta, dormant Krishna consciousness, and he talks of who is a real Tapasvi. Who follows the regulated hygiene path will never fall sick. Basically, the first part of that purport is, what is true Prayaschitta and what is Tapasya? Repentance and penance. And the proof of that penance is, now you take up this process without any neglect, which offenses rise due to neglect, callousness. And practical proof of manifestation of that feeling in heart is strict adherence to the rules as far as possible and according to our ability. So I think we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Hari.